Welcome, citizens. You're listening to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. Here, thinkers and doers always have a key to the city. The mayor is in, so office hours start now.
New Amsterdam Radio starts now. What's going on, citizens? Little boys here, the mayor. Hanging out here in the mayor's office on a bright, sunny day as the light from the streets below or above creep their way into the office. And I'm kind of in a chipper mood, you know? Like, it's really cool to see how big this platform has gotten. It's really cool to see how many fans have come up to me and they love the show. And some validation always makes me feel good. Today, we are talking with professional car racer Cam Carraway. If you haven't heard of him, you will, because at 14 years old, he's already a racing champion and has goals to sights set on NASCAR. You're going to love the talk with Cam. He's really representing not only for race car lovers and lovers of motorsport, but definitely athletes of color as well. But newamsterdam.com, thank you so much for making this part of your podcasting diet. And you can show your support to the show in a myriad of ways. If you're going to get yourself a ticket to a show around town, make sure you use SeatGeek. That's what I did. I actually went to a hockey game in town the past couple days to see my local team, the New York Islanders, who were playing the Kings. I went to SeatGeek. And you can too. Use promo code FLOBITO. That's me, FLOBITO, for $20 off your first order. That's $20 off your first order. You know how much these tickets cost out here in these streets. Give yourself a bit of a leg up with SeatGeek and promo code FLOBITO. And as the show grows and transitions, I really want to hear more about what you're working on. Hit me up on that X. I'm at Flobo Boyce. That's FLOBOBOYCE. Or that Instagram. That's FLOBITO, FLOBITO. Other than that, personally, I'm doing well. I think that we got some episodes coming up that you're going to enjoy. And I know you will let me know if you aren't enjoying. That's why I love hanging out and performing, providing content and shows of value for all creatives and entrepreneurs and those that have dreams. But enough of my rambling. Now it's time for my chat with professional race car driver Cam Carraway. Welcome back to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. It is I, the mayor, Flobo Boyce, in the mayor's office, hanging with people who are doing the dang thing. And my guest lives his life at 150 plus miles per hour. What? Race cars? What? Give it up for the Cam man himself, Cam Carraway. How's it going?
It's going really well. It's going really well. As a matter of fact, I just got in the car for my first ever practice session for 2024. And that was really fun. The car wrap looks nice and the car is really fast. So I can't wait to go back racing.
Okay. So on our show, long-term listeners know I have a passing interest of going fast because I like the idea, but anything over 80 miles per hour, sort of holding on to the side of the walls. When there was a moment for you when you decided, no, racing is my thing. I want to get behind the cars. I want to push it to the limit. I want a red line.
Well, I pretty much love this pretty much my entire life. Like, when I was like a little baby, I would always play with race cars. And then as I got older and older, I like the speed and the competition of it. And I always play with my NASCAR toy cars. And I always just watch NASCAR repeat. And then I saw these little quarter midget cars and I realized that I could start racing too. And then that's when I realized that, you know, this is for me and I want to race.
So you're a NASCAR guy. Who was your guy growing up?
My guy growing up, his name was Bob Wallace. He's the person that inspired me because he's a person of color and he was able to make it to NASCAR. So it made me feel like that if he's a person of color looking just like me, then I could be able to make it to NASCAR as well.
Yeah, shout out to Bubba. I think I saw his documentary on Netflix, Race, ready for that. Team 23 team. I think it's pretty awesome. Okay. So send me back then. You decided to say, look, I have my cars. I'm going to make it a reality. I have guests in the show that were sim racers. I have guests in the show that would race their parents' car. Making the jump to real race cars must have been a conversation. What was that like talking to mom and dad being like, no, ma, look, trust me. I want to do this. Give me the shot. Give me the opportunity. And I'll show you what I can do.
Well, it was basically like my mom, we were at like this fairgrounds and like my mom said that, hey, there's these kids racing these little Core Magic cars, and we just watched them, and then, like, they were given out, like, flyers to come to our local racetracks so that we can, like, get training to drive these little race cars that I saw the other kids doing. Mm-hmm. And I told my mom that I wanted to do it, and she was like, are you sure? And I said, yes. So we then went to the Quarter Midget track. They're, like, these little race cars for kids. And then, like, I got in them, and as soon as I got in them, even though I did not have any idea because I was just a little kid, so really the only thing I knew was that I had to go fast. I didn't know anything else, so my mom told me to just go learn about everything first and, like, how to drive. So, and then after that, I got clear to be able to race those things, it was, the rest is history. I can say that.
That must be kind of scary, though, not because of the idea of you doing something that's new, but there's varying degrees of skill in quarter midget circuit. Like, there's people who are on point, and there's people that aren't. So, like, imagine trying to learn trial by fire by those that may be a little bit less skilled than you. That must have been like dodging live hazards, right?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely had to learn a lot of stuff because, like, Since I didn't really know how to, the whole fundamentals of it, it really was just get used to it first. Cause, like, I definitely was not into the fundamentals yet.
Yeah. I got that. What's training like? I mean, I know you got to put hours a day to make sure you get the best person. Also, you go to school as well. So, like, what's the balance like doing both?
Make sure that I'm able to go on the simulator so that way I get ready for future races, and also for school, just make sure that I keep my grades up to a reasonable amount and just be able to always just maybe be able to keep my grades up, just like, and then always do my homework or else it would not be fun for me with my parents. So yeah, it's just a balance of make sure my grades are good and being able to train for future races.
When you say simulator, do you play a particular game, or is it like a professional simulator like system? Like, what does that look like?
It's sort of like that. It's with a full wheel, a shifter, and the clutch, the brake, the gas. So pretty much the stuff you would see in an actual race car, and then the simulator, it's made to make it feel like you're actually sort of in a race car, just on a computer screen, basically. So that helps me a little bit, so that way I get ready for future races that I'm in.
Sure, but is the software like iRacing, or is it like a specific thing for your circuit? Like, is it like iRacing or ACC or?
Oh, my bad. Sorry, it's iRacing. That's what it is.
Yeah. No, I've tried because iRacing has a monthly fee, so I kind of fell out of it. But I tried, and I can tell you one thing. Even though they say simulation and it quote unquote isn't real, it is pretty much close to the real conditions, and I can tell. I put my car out in so many different classes. It's pretty dope. it be like that. I can't lie. Can I say that race car driving is the dream still, or do you have other things you want to pursue? Like, what's that the taking on the task of the bucket list thing situation?
Race car driving is a dream for me. I want to be able to become a NASCAR Cup Series driver. That's my dream. So race car driving is what I want to do for the future of my life.
Fantastic. But there's a lot of race circuits out there. Can I ask what makes NASCAR the one? Is the one you grew up with? Or it's kind of like, hey, look, it's an American circuit. What makes it the most appealing?
It's basically just like the one that I've been super used to and just like grown up with. And I always just, NASCAR is really just, well, it's basically just the thing that I grew up with because when I was watching Cars, I realized that NASCAR was basically like Cars. So basically, I could say, like, I was a Lightning McQueen drawer, and I realized that these NASCAR guys are racing like Lightning McQueen. So I want to be like him, and I want to be able to race in NASCAR as well. So I always just grown up with it, and that's always just been my favorite sport over everything else.
Yeah, real talk, man. The car series is so underrated. So underrated. I'm talking with Cam Carraway. 2023 Las Vegas Speedway winner. So imagine going on the road and just dominating. That must have been kind of cool to fly into a city, take a championship, and just peace out.
Yeah, that would be fun to have. I have won a lot of stuff, and I have won championships. As a matter of fact, I have made a lot of milestones in quarter midget history and Las Vegas Motor Speedway Series Motor Speedway Bowling history. Because I was the youngest African-American winner there, actually. So it was definitely really nice to know that I was able to make history there.
Let's talk about that. Just the fact that you are a person of color, you are trailblazing. Has fans pulled you aside and was like, "Oh man, you know, you're doing it for us." Is there a kind of pressure to achieve because of that? We look so different in space.
I never really thought of the pressure part. Actually, I really just always knew. I always felt like that, even if I looked different from other racers.
Yeah.
I always just thought that y'all just had like one simple goal, and that's just to race and go for that first place trophy. I never really felt the pressure of having to be a trailblazer. But now I'm starting to realize what I'm actually doing and that I am starting to become an inspiration for others. I'm starting to realize that now.
Yeah.
And now, as I start realizing it, now I'm starting to realize that I'm gonna be making my own path as I go upper and upper in the ranks, and that I will be able to possibly and maybe even for sure inspire others, so that way they can race too. Especially if they're a person of color, because like if there isn't much diversity, then little kids of color might think that, oh, maybe I won't be able to be in a sport if I'm like, you know, this race or something. So, and that's make me realize that I have to be able to make the path so that way others can get inspired by me and make their own path. So now I'm starting to realize that.
Man, that's heavy, man. I appreciate having your candid nature there, because it can be a lot when someone goes, hey, you're the first. Like, no, I'm trying to do me. But at the same time, you have to think about that as well. Describe to me the call you got from Nickelodeon, though, when they're like, look, let's film this. That must have been crazy, right? Just being like the Nickelodeon?
That one was definitely a surprise, because like when my parents told me about that, that's when I realized that, like, holy cow, this has actually happened. I'm going on one of the biggest platforms in America. So
yeah,
that definitely was very cool to be able to go on Nickelodeon. And it was definitely one of the largest experiences that I ever had. It was definitely amazing to be on that show. And I'm just so thankful that Nickelodeon even wanted us to go on their, even wanted me to go on their show. So it was definitely very cool to be able to hang out with the Nickelodeon crew and do all the content for them. So it was definitely really awesome.
Was that recorded over a day, a weekend? Like, what was the actual process like with them being in your space?
It was pretty much the entire weekend we had. We went to this, we took out the car and we went to I believe the Oakland Museum for a hip hop party for the 50th anniversary of hip hop. And then we got to take the car out, and then they were just recording us, and then like there were people coming over, and so we did that part. Yeah. And then that's also when we had our first ever fundraiser, and they're also recording that too. So, and then around like at least 2 weeks later, and then they brought a whole production crew, and they were at one of my races, and that was when we were just doing a lot of content for that weekend. So it was a really, really fun experience.
Yeah, it looked like you had your own action movie when it was all said and done. It was pretty cool. One of the challenges I've had with other guests in the world of motorsport, the challenges they've told me about is about sponsorship, right? Getting people to get on board to what you're doing up there. Motorsport is very, very challenging. Sponsors come and go. What's been your path like? Has it been a bit of a challenge to get people to look at you? Have you been trying to put content out? Like, what's been the play there to make sure you're still viable in the series circuit you're in?
Well, about that, what we first did to get sponsors is that we just walked around to our local stores, to our local businesses, and just talked to them, tell them about the whole thing. And it worked for some of them. Sometimes it doesn't work because, like, you know, the business just may not be able to, you know, have enough money to be able to just support me while also doing their business. But however, for some of it, it worked. And then also, it sometimes also takes content as well, because without your content, then sometimes businesses may not able to be seeing you on social media, because I know that's how we got at least some of our businesses. And then also, it's and then also if you like travel, like big events, like we were at SEMA, I was also the first minor to be able to get invited to that, and I was able to actually pick up a few sponsors there as well. So yeah, it's definitely really just a lot of work to be able to get sponsors. It takes a lot of talking, and also you just got to be yourself, so that way
yeah,
the sponsors would be interested in you. So it's definitely just like one big thing that you have to do in order to be able to make it up there. You have to have sponsors, you have to have right, a good media platform, you have to have a good personality as well, and then also you just got to be able to be good with the media. So yeah, it's definitely all those things that just bundle up into the things you have to do for racing.
Yeah, absolutely. And this question may be a little bit sensitive, so if you don't want to answer, I can totally understand. But we have a lot of guests on the show that have to do this. They have to go out there and put themselves out there for their brand or product or service to get sponsorships. But it can be draining. It can be. It's a lot of work to go out there and say, look, I'm good. Let me prove it to you over and over again. What do you do to refill that cup? Like after you are just totally like exhausted selling the wares, if you will. Now, if it's kind of weird, if you want to make sure the sponsor is respectful, I totally get that. But like, I think any tip or trick you have to keep yourself refreshed to do that would be great for our listeners.
I would say that this is actually kind of one of my favorite parts of doing as all track during racing, because like I'm always just able to talk to new people like you, especially. So whenever I hear that I'm going to be on a podcast or something like that, it just always makes me joyful that I'll be able to talk to someone about what I've done for racing, and it just always has been so enjoyable for me to do.
Wow. Man, you're an inspiration, because sometimes I'm like, oh, Lord, I got to go out there and tell me people how. But I respect that, though, because if you love what you do, then it kind of comes through. So that's totally, totally the point. We always ask people on the show, though, do you believe in days off? And if you do days off, what do you do to away from the track to get yourself situated on your days off?
Sometimes I go on the sim, and then sometimes I play video games, and sometimes I'll go on the simulators. Basically that. And even whenever I'm playing video games, let's just say it's mostly racing video games. So
yeah,
that's how much I like the sport. I just always love playing racing video games, going on the simulator, or being able to watch NASCAR races pretty much every single weekend. So yeah.
Do you play arcade racers too, or is that too different now to go and jump on Need for Speed or something?
I don't think I know what that is.
Like if like an arcade race like Need for Speed or like Forza, like Horizon, the arcadey ones where you don't have to be as precise with the car, or it's kind of like, no, I want to make sure I'm sticking with the simulation side and play your Gran Turismo's, your iRacing's, etc.
In terms of that, I mostly just stick to the simulation side and play like iRacing.
Yeah, I get you. That probably will like spoil the pot, because my buddy does. He's he's semi pro sim racing. He's in a sim racing league, and he can't touch the arcade stuff anymore. He's like, I can't hit a NOS button. I gotta find the right shifter. So I totally get it. I'm that way with pro wrestling myself, but that's another issue for another time. If you're a long time listening to the show, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay. So on the show, we always ask some department questions, some questions we ask all our guests, kind of like a little bit of game. Hope you can play around with me. I got to ask you, though, what is your favorite junk food? Like, what do you do when there's no diet, no restrictions? You can eat whatever the heck you want. What do you do?
You eat whatever I want with no restrictions, and that would be pizza.
Okay. Yeah. What's your kind of pepperoni, mushrooms, what?
Either cheese or pepperoni.
Yeah, a classic choice. Can't knock that. Do you have a travel bucket list? And if so, what's the destinations that you want to visit before the end?
I would want to visit. It'll be pretty funny because like a lot of these are racetrack bucket lists, but I want to visit Disney World because I had never been to Disney World before. So I want to visit that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to visit some NASCAR tracks, because like there are some very prestigious NASCAR tracks that I haven't been to that I really want to go to, that being like Talladega, Bristol, those two are really prestigious NASCAR tracks, and sure. I want to be able to visit those.
Sure.
And then also, in terms of like non-race car track stuff, I would actually want to visit New York. I would want to visit that because like I've never seen Times Square in person. It just like has this like vibe that I would want to, and it just makes me want to go there. So I would want to go to New York.
It's funny you say that because as an old man, I remember when Times Square wasn't closed to pedestrians. So it was kind of like, wow, Times Square, you know what I mean? Like, watch out. But now you can actually walk the streets. It's pretty cool as a native. The only NASCAR track I've been to has been Daytona. My undergrad was in I went to Flagler College, which is right outside St. Augustine, Florida. So I've seen Daytona, and it is massive. I get it. Like, I didn't get NASCAR being from New York, but I got it once I got to Daytona and see everyone come out. And back then, the infield was open, so it was like almost like a camping experience. So I hope you get the chance to check out those tracks. There's one out here. I live in Los Angeles. The one here in Fontana. And there's also Clash, right? Clash happens downtown Los Angeles. I forgot about the Clash, duh. That's pretty cool as well. I've been to that one. Okay, so everyone collects something. What do you collect?
Collects?
Yeah. Think. Besides trophies. I know you win all the time, but besides that, what do you collect?
I collect a lot of NASCAR diecasts, and I use them to make stop motion videos, so... I'm also a part of the NASCAR stop motion community. I just want to just keep on getting those NASCAR diecasts. So that way I could just like make my cars look more diverse. So yeah, that's what I collect basically, if you can say it like that.
When you say diecast, you make 118 or 1152? Like how big are
I mostly collect 164 diecasts. I have a couple of 124s, but it's mostly 164s.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So I guess it's like a wall, I guess, dedicated or like a section of the room dedicated to them, the ones you have.
Yeah. Oh, man, we're making that part, actually. We just need to find some space because the simulator take a lot of space in the room. So we're just trying to fix our room to make it fit that part.
Dude, I can imagine that. I imagine like the car collection versus how many more screens could you add to the sim. We need more screens. That's what it is. I will say this. I learned NASCAR pretty late. Like I said, I was in college. I was from New York. I was like, NASCAR, whatever. But my junior year in college, I'm dating myself now. I was so into the DeWalt 17, the Matt Kenseth car, that I had so many DeWalts all over my dorm room. And my brother came back from Brooklyn. He's like, what the heck? Like, you don't understand, bro. It's the South. I don't know why I went on a tangent. So what is your favorite circuit to race on? If you had a choice to pick a circuit that you would say is your home circuit or one you love to do, which one would you say is your favorite?
My favorite circuit to race on is the Madeira Speedway out in California. I'm getting ready for the 2024 season there, and the reason why I like it so much is that it's like a really tight track. It's like only three lanes wide, and it's just like you can race, and like later in the season you'll be able to race multi-lane groups. You can race like outside or inside, and it's just a really fun and competitive track you're on.
Yeah. Wow. I well, to see you live as you go up the ranks. Now, a lot of us creatives, entrepreneurs, self-driven people, the worst emotion to deal with is frustration, right? It's like anger from a sense of helplessness. What do you do when you're frustrated? How did you get yourself back centered when you're just like, today is not my day. It's a result I don't want. Training's going awry. How do you get yourself reset?
I guess sometimes it's like, just sit and just stare at something and just trying to just get myself reset. And then sometimes it's actually my dad that just helps me just like when like something just doesn't go my day and I'm just like it's just sometimes like my dad will be able to see it, and then my dad will just say, hey, today just might not be the day, but just try to do better next time. And so that way this day might not happen. So sometimes it's either me resetting or it's my dad helping me set, making, like, my dad would always say, like, hey, don't do this. Just don't pout. Just get back to what you're doing and just to be able to just get back to focus on what happens in the next race and just put that last race behind you. So, yeah, I would say basically, like, my dad.
Yeah.
Basically, the main person that helps me out.
I respect that because I'm all about tantrums. Cam Caraway, thanks so much for being on the show, and I appreciate your time. If someone wanted to support you, follow you, buy in, sponsor, how they go about contacting you or your team?
It's basically Camman Races, all lowercase, pretty much all of it. Camman.gmail.com is basically my email, so that way you can contact us. Right,
CammanRaces@gmail.com.
Yeah, CammanRaces@gmail.com if you want to contact us personally. And then CammanRaces.com for our website. And then CammanRaces.com for all of our social media, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. For pretty much all social media, just CammanRaces. No spaces, just all lowercases. That's where you can find us.
Oh, absolutely. One last question before we get out of here. How do you go about coming up with the helmet designs? I know it must be a sense of self-expression. What goes to the mind and the thought process?
It's mostly just like me and my mom and dad just deciding on what goes in our helmet. We just like sometimes we'll take a photo, and sometimes though just from my personal choice. And sometimes whenever we have those personal votes, I'll sometimes let my little sister also vote because she's a very, very stylish person. I'll say that for sure.
Okay, let's go.
So, yeah. So, well, yeah, that's what happens. And then also does go for car wraps at times as well. So, yeah, that's what goes into deciding what we want to have on our cars, what car wraps or what helmet wraps.
Fantastic. To be a good at what you do, you need a good team. And it sounds like your family is down to support. Cam Cameron, thanks so much for being on the show. I appreciate you. The Camman Races. I'm going to follow you. If I don't follow you already, I'm going to follow you on all my channels because when you blow up, I want you to be like, yo, I was a new Am Sam like 10 years ago. It was dope. That means a lot to me.
Well, I mean, I also got to give a thanks out to you because, like, you know, because, like, I definitely had so much fun being able to talk with you on this podcast. This was an amazing experience for me, and I definitely had so much fun being able to talk with you. It was a very, very nice experience, and I definitely love the podcast feeling. You know, I'll definitely watch some more podcasts of yours in the future.
I appreciate that, man. Have a good one.
Thanks so much for listening to New Amsterdam Radio. Learn more about the show at newamsterdam.com. That's KNEW amsterdam.com. Until next time, this city is yours.